Good morning, family. When women preach, they have to have tissues with them, especially after a weekend like Awaken. I feel as if God has opened so much in our hearts, and obviously our women, we cry when the Lord is dealing with us. So it might go on this morning. So gentlemen, take a deep breath and relax. You are not my husband. You don't have to do anything. You can just enjoy the morning. Okay. It's so wonderful for me to be here. Yeah, Rick has preached here many times. I just want to say hello to all the mommies outside in the mother's room, because that's normally where I sit. You are precious and important, and I know that God has a word for you as well this morning. So, yeah, thanks for coming to church. It's great to be here. Thanks for Heinrich and Nikki and for Theo and Lynette and for Kurt and Machli for trusting me this morning with bringing the word. I know that the Lord has a word for your congregation this morning. I'm very precious. Jan, I must actually probably say Jan, but he confirmed the word that the Lord has placed on my heart just in his offering message. So I was just sitting smiling, knowing that God has already prepared a word for you, no matter who we would choose to bring it. This is the word for today. Jan, like Theo said, my husband's name is Rick, and yes, he is an Iron Man. That's also why he can watch three kids on a Sunday morning. He would like to be here, but our smallest is very ill, so he stayed at home, and he's busy with pain, fever syrup and whatever. He's not nice. So he's with them. I want to thank Mandre and my mom for coming along. I always say to the people, I get very excited when I start to talk about Jesus and especially the Holy Spirit, and then I start to spit a lot. But my baby threw up on Mandre this morning already, so I think she will be able to handle spit. I know it's uncomfortable for them to sit so right in front, but there they are. So I just want to thank you guys so much for coming along with me. Yes, we had a wonderful time at Awaken. It was so special. Honestly, every year we think it's so much effort. It is ours. It is so much money. Why do we do it? Why do we do it? And then on a weekend, we are reminded why we do it. We can go to the ends of the earth with effort, with money, with everything to set a table for Jesus to come and minister to us. So gentlemen, thanks for stepping up, for taking the children, for helping out, for doing the setup, for doing the worship. I see one of our sisters was in the team as well. You rock, girl. Just for keeping everything all right while we just spend time in the Lord. So precious. Yesterday morning, Tanika Jesus spoke to us, and yes, he said, gooi hem straight. She just say it straight, and I treasure people like that in these days. It's as if time is so precious, you have to say things straight. And you have to receive something if somebody is saying it just straight to you, hey? Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's the one thing I just want to honor my husband as well. He's very straight with me. People always say, oh, your husband is so funny. Is he so funny at home? He always makes jokes and he's just, it's not really the clown of the office, but I think that's why God placed him in an office in Stellenbosch. Is everybody loves him. They love to relax around him. He can crack a joke and break tension. And just overall, people is just drawn to him because he is a funny guy. But at home, he's quite straight. So there were times in our lives where we would go through real difficulty. Also when the church will go through real difficulty. And in those times, my husband will say things straight. And he will know what the truth is, and he will know what is the godly thing to do, and I will fall off the rails everywhere, and he will hold my hand and say, no, 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 this is what God is saying, and this is where we are going. So many times, if it wasn't for Rick Borman, I would not be here this morning. So I just want to honor my husband. He's not here this morning, but thanks for looking after the kids so that I can be here this morning. The word that God gave me, the sermon's name is just the Upside Down Kingdom. And that is what Jan also said this morning. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. I'm going to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. And I really trust that there's a special word for each and every one of you this morning. Before I start, I want to ask you, from just the top of your head, just think quickly, what is your heart's desire? What do you want to do? Where do you want to be? Don't be religious. What do you want to do? Where do you want to be? Just keep it in your mind. We're going to come back to that. What is your heart's desire? I know what's mine, your wildest dream, whatever. Just think about it quickly. Just remember it. We will come back to that. I'm just going to pray for us. Jesus, I thank you that this morning you were here early and that you are waiting, Lord, for your children, God. You're so excited to minister. Thank you for your worship, God, that we can enter your courts with praise, Lord, and that we can fall before your feet, knowing that we are nothing without you. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you this morning as the only one that can bring any change. You are the only one that can come and dopos uit, dopos om. You can come and change our hearts. And we are so expectant for what you want to do. I just invite you in. I say that you are the guest of honor here this morning. And we acknowledge your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Another confirmation of my message was that Christelle started her sermon last night with exactly the same that here on my page that I wrote earlier in the week. All right. It's just that the Jews were expecting a savior to come and save them. They were expecting a king. They were expecting somebody on a horse with big shoulders and a big statue and a big voice, probably an army man, to come and save them from everything that they've been through. So when Jesus preached, it was not what they expected. And that is why they didn't acknowledge him as their king and their savior. And many times I think we are the same if we think about leaders today. What do we perceive a leader must be like? What must they do? Obviously, it's very sad, but in our country, the leadership or most of the leadership portray the wrong picture of what a leader must be like. So, yes, Mary fell pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. That would not go well in society. I think way back then and also now. So that is how Jesus was conceived. Now, the Holy Spirit impregnated me. Would you believe that? I don't know if I would. Anyway, so that was the first thing. Weird. Jesus came. He was born in a manger between animals, between straw, dirt. That's how he came into the world. Right? Not really the way a king should be born, on a golden pillow, wrapped in very soft whatever. There was none like that. That's how he came in. As a baby, Jesus and his family was on the run. They were hiding. They were not home. They could not be home. It's not the way that you treat a king. It's just the wrong way around. It should not be like that. So when I look at that, Jesus said to me, the Holy Spirit ministered to me, said to me, just go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John again. And if we're finished today, that is what I want to leave you with. Go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And just go see again who's Jesus. Because he's so different from what we see around us in the world today. And he is our example. And his word is our example. Society is pressing so much junk down our throats to do, to be, to achieve, to be. And that is wrong. And parents, that is wrong. Our kids see it and they get it from everywhere and that is wrong. And Jesus is just so upside down. He is just so the other way around. So I just want to highlight a few things around that today. My brother is doing his MBA this year. And it's so nice for me to hear what he speaks about. And I read through some of the books that he's doing. Because when they talk about leadership, everything that they talk about is godly principles. But it's an MBA. But God designed us. He knows how we work. And we have to have those godly leadership principles in our lives because it works. And they even teach it to them out there, all the businessmen. That is the stuff that works. So it was so encouraging for me to see, listen, Lord, if you made us this way, that is just how it works. And that's the end of it. Now, I know this guy who really gets this right. He gets all of these godly principles of being a leader, of being a king, of being in leadership. He gets it right. So much so that people are so inspired by the way that he gets it right that they start to write about him so that we can actually read it today. It's left for us. We have the word of the Lord. And in all respect, this guy is Jesus and he is my savior. All right? And we have the word of the Lord today to teach that to us. So we are not clueless. It is all there for us so that we can read it through and we can have a great example of what Jesus said to us. Now, Jesus is an interesting guy. My baby is now 8 months old. It is May. May will be a year since the last time I slept through the night. Anybody else like that? Yay. Okay. So I am a bit sleep deprived, especially the last 2 months. It's been very tough. So I'm tired. So I know how I react when I have not slept enough, when I am tired and when I'm pressed and when I'm stressed. and I'm tired. And I justify my behavior because goodness, I was up 6 times last night. Goodness, he was up from 2 to 3 last night and I didn't sleep from 2 to 3. I was up at 6 this morning. So I can be a bit grumpy. So I kan maar so 'n bietjie jou kop afbyt. Moet nou nie so lelik met my wees nie. All right? I didn't have a lot of sleep. So we kind of justify that. Now, Jesus ministered to people. Now, if you ever had the privilege of counseling somebody or ministering or preaching, you will know you are exhausted afterwards. It takes a lot from your physical body. Now, Jesus did that all the time. So I'm just thinking, he must have been exhausted. And what does he do every time? He actually, many times he tries to get away. They will get on a boat and the Bible actually says he is tired. He wants to get away. And then there's just a new multitude waiting for him. Now, I think I will actually lose my cool or I will dive back into the boat and hide somewhere or whatever. But Jesus just steps out. He heals people because he loves them. He preaches to them. He teaches to them. It's so beautiful how he handles this, how he just goes through this tiredness or through the pain or whatever because it's for his love of people. Now, while he was teaching people, some of those Pharisees and whatever, I'm not the theologian, you guys will see. Oh, by the way, let's just stop here. Oh, yeah. I am a children's pastor. So I work with children. I haven't been in a morning service since a very long time. I go to the evening services every now and again. So this is a morning service. It's new to me. So I love kids. I work with kids most of the time. So that's the first thing I just want to tell you. I love the house of the Lord. I love our church. God has placed a special love for our vision also in my heart. So I just love our church, and I think our church is the best church, all right? That's just what I think. I think I have the best husband as well. Okay, I can brag about it. So I just want to throw it out there this morning, guys. So that is where I come from. I can go on and on about kids and kids ministry and whatever, but I will not. But I just want to give that to you. I can't remember why I wanted to throw that in there, but anyway. So people will, that's what I want to say. I'm a normal mommy, then I haven't slept enough, but God chose me to bring the word this morning. Because I feel there are people and saying, oh, if only I can be like a leader, if only I can be like this. I'm really nobody and nothing. I just want to throw it out there. God can use anybody to bring a word on a Sunday, all right? You must be open to His Holy Spirit to come and talk to you and minister through you, okay? As I'm standing here, I'm really shaking and nervous because I don't get to do this often. So I just want to get it all out there, all right? So that you know. Mom's there in the foyer. I'm normally sitting there in the foyer, okay? God can make a way for you to do ministry, to do anything. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you, all right? Just know that. Okay, let's go back. So people will provoke Him, these Pharisees people, all right? They will try to trick him, okay? Once again, you can justify that by saying now he can actually give them a lacquer shiner or something because they're being very rude. But Jesus will just come back with a question. Or Jesus will tell them a story when they try to trick him. People spat on him. They laughed at him. They betrayed him. They nailed him to a cross. And what did Jesus do? He said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. That is the heart of our Savior. Just before he went to the cross, he washed the dirty, muddy feet of the person who will sell him out, of the person that would betray him. He knew that was coming, but still he kneeled down, he took the water, and he washed their feet. And this was the great king and the great leader that they had and that we have today. I want to take us to a scripture in Mark 9, verse 33 to 35. Can we just have that up there? Okay. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? Okay, so this is Jesus asking his disciples. Just before the scripture, Peter, John, and James were with Jesus. He was taken. They went up the mountain. God appeared there and said once again, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So the three of them were with Jesus witnessing that. So while they were walking to Capernaum, they were disputing among themselves. This is now the disciples. Who's the greatest among them? Okay, maybe it's Peter, James, and John, because we were with Jesus when God said, "This is my beloved son." Maybe it was you because you caught more fish in your net when Jesus said, "Throw your net out." Maybe it was you because you brought his tunic this morning for him to get dressed. Honestly, his disciples, right? That is what they were disputing about. Now, Jesus knew about this, so he asked them, "What are you disputing among yourselves?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, next slide. "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Oh, what a bummer. So they're like, no, who's the greatest? Who's the best among you? Jesus will probably help us out now. He will show it to us who's the best and the greatest. And then Jesus comes with this. If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all. He shall be servant of all. And remember, Jesus came to show us the way. So he's talking about himself. He will be last and he will be servant of all. And we're going to talk about that today. Now, the path to glory, that is what the disciples wanted. They wanted glory. If we are honest with ourselves, we are caught in that trap many times. I want to be important. I want people to acknowledge me, to see me. I want to be the one to shine. I want to be upstage. I want to be glorious. And Jesus is saying to them, the path of glory will lead through suffering and death. You will have to die to yourself and you will have to serve others. That is what Jesus showed us. He served us with his life. It's getting very quiet in here. Please don't move out. Just sit down. I'm not finished yet. So the purpose for us is not to shine. It's not to be the best. It's not to be glorious, all right? This is so beautiful for me because we are all disciples of Christ and we are all discipling people. We are supposed to disciple people. Now, this call, it is a radical call. To serve Jesus is radical, really. This radical call to discipleship is not a call. It's not a call for us to serve Jesus. Hang in there. It's a call for Jesus to serve us so that we can serve others. Jesus served us on the cross. Jesus is serving you and me daily. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So that we can be empowered to serve others. So you cannot say, "I'm serving Jesus. I don't have time for you. I'm serving Jesus. No, go away. Sit in the corner." That's not how it works. Jesus doesn't want our service. He wants to serve us. He wants you to receive his service. He wants you to receive your salvation, to receive the Holy Spirit. And the many, I get so excited when I talk about it, but the many gifts that the Holy Spirit brings so that we can be empowered to serve those around us. Hey? Okay, now here I just want to stand still quickly. Okay, lekker. So, Alida Boorman, my server husband. Let's just start there. Server husband. Okay, great. So I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an 8-month-old. So in the morning, we have to do grade 1 this year. So we have to get up early. We have to get everybody ready. Honestly, Rick can make his own coffee, really. That is my attitude. That has been my attitude quite a while. Really, just pick up your clothes and just throw it in the basket. I have so much else to do in this house. Lack is still rocket now. Okay. So that's just 2 quick examples. I must serve my husband. Okay? My husband must serve me. Guys, we must serve you must serve your wives, all right? We must serve our neighbors. Serve our communities. Serve the church. Now, I told you already, I love the church, all right? I know that our church, globally, the church is the bride of Christ. And Jesus is coming back to fetch his bride. So he's coming back to fetch the bride of Christ, which is the church. So that is another sermon for another day. But I get so excited when I get to help prepare the bride for Jesus to come. So that when I have to serve in church, I am excited to do it. Every Sunday morning, I am in children's church, but it is such a joy for me. Not only for the children, but I know that I'm busy preparing them so that they can be strong. Know Jesus, his Holy Spirit, serve others so that Jesus can just come to fetch us so that we can go home. Won't you want to go home? I can't wait to go home. All right? So I'm excited about serving the church. So it's much serving, dying to self. This is very tough, I know. But it is radical, like I said. Luke 13:33 gets tougher. Jesus is saying, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, all that is important to you, cannot be my disciple. I can jump up and down as much as I want. That is tough. Okay? It's not only tough, it is impossible. It is impossible for you and me just to lay it all down. It is impossible for you and me to serve those around us, to die to ourselves daily. We cannot do it. We cannot do the example that Jesus left for us by ourselves. We cannot. In our own strength, we cannot. You will be bitter. You will be burned out. You will run away from church and Christianity. You will be offended if you try to do it in your own strength. I was there many times. I've done it many times. I know what it feels like. If you want to do it in your own strength, you cannot. Mark 10:27 says to us, with men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So here the change comes in. So just stay with me. Okay? In the Old Testament, we had the commandment that you have to love your neighbor as yourself. But then Jesus came. Let's say in the Old Testament, you did not really like yourself. These days that we are living, many people don't like themselves. So then the bar for loving your neighbor is really very low. Don't really have to do a lot to love your neighbor. But Jesus came to raise the bar because Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. John 13:34. I give a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And how did Jesus love us? By serving and laying down his life, by suffering to death so that we can have life. So that is our new commandment, to love one another. So just keep that in mind, all right? John 16:7 is my ultimate favorite scripture in the Bible. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. That is Jesus speaking to his disciples. They were panicking because he said he was going away. And they just couldn't imagine how they would be able to hold up, to live, to just have their being without him being so close and intimate with them. And he tells them the truth. If Jesus tells you the truth, that is the double truth. He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. Dit is vir jou beter dat ek weggaan. Wat op dis aarde kan beter wees as Jesus? What can be better than Jesus being so close with us? For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And there's no here waar die pop or die fan strike. That is, here is where the big difference comes in. Jesus is saying to us, I will not leave you alone. It is good for you that I go away. The helper will come. The comforter, the one to make wise, the Holy Spirit. I will serve you daily with the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can serve others. Through pain, through suffering, through death, you will be able to do it not by yourself, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, and just let's just be honest. There are a couple of people in your mind that you really would not like to serve. Am I right? Yes. So think about them. Because right there, you have to say, I do not want to serve them. I cannot serve them. They do not deserve to be served. Jesus, I need you to help me. Holy Spirit, empower me to lay my life down for them, because that is what Jesus would have done. And that's it. But this is radical, and this is not easy, all right? But know that we have the Holy Spirit. Now, I asked you in the beginning, what is your heart's desire? I want you to quickly think about that again. Every now and again, life gets fussy for me, or clouded, and I kind of lose my way. And that's always the way how I bring it down again. I ask myself, Alida, what is on God's heart? The answer is always the same. God's heart is for the lost. He wants to see every soul saved on earth. His heart is for the lost. So then I ask myself, okay, what is in my heart? Is that what is on God's heart? If it's not, I'm out of sync. I have to repent and say, Lord, I want to do, I want to be busy with, I want to put my money and my time and my effort where your heart is. Because honestly, what else are we busy with? When I was single, it was easier for me to focus on this. When I got married, it was a little bit more difficult. And when I got children, it started to get tough to focus on this. Because you say, no, but my family is important and my husband is important. And no, they're all important. But first and foremost, my heart must ring, must burn for the lost. Because that is what is on God's heart. So my family's heart must be to serve, to reach out to the lost, to minister to the lost, to tell the lost about Jesus. My six-year-old, my four-year-old, my eight-month-old will get there. That is what we must be busy with, in whatever way, because that is what is on God's heart. Will my six-year-old get tired? Yes, he will moan. I don't want to do this. We don't want to go. Oh, no, no, no. He will. And then I have to tell him, boy, I also don't want to do it. So what do we do now? We tell Jesus we don't want to do it. We need His Holy Spirit to help us do it. That is on the parenting sermon that I will do whenever. Just remember, parents, that if the kids don't see you do things, they will not follow. If you don't love your house, the church, they will not love church. If you don't flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they will not flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that is our responsibility to show it to them. If you don't pray in the Spirit, it will be weird for them when they hear it from somebody else. It is our responsibility to teach, to show, to minister, to serve to them the truth daily. And that's also a tough call, once again, but we have the Holy Spirit as our helper. And Jesus said, it's good that He comes. It's to our advantage that He comes. But I find even in our charismatic circles, we neglect the Holy Spirit. We neglect the power in the Holy Spirit. I don't know why we do it. We get religious, even in our church. I get religious. The one day, I was still a student. I was playing hockey for Marty's, and I was really very fit. And I can remember running on an astro field up to the goal box. We were in a game, and I was kind of, I don't know if I was playing back somewhere, but the game was kind of in front, and I had to sprint all the way back for defense or something. And in that moment, I said to myself, it was a night game, the lights were on, and I was very fit, so it wasn't a struggle for me. I said to myself, this feels great. Whenever you want to stop exercising, remember this feeling. I can remember it till today. And if you are a fitness addict, you will know that feeling. But you can just go on and on. Life is just awesome. I want to tell you today, the moment that you flow in the Holy Spirit, the moment where you see God's Spirit in work in you or in your children or in somebody else, it cannot compare to that awesome feeling when you are top fit, when you finish a race, when you come first or whatever. It doesn't even compare. It is so much better, but still we neglect it. It gives you so much chill and thrill and whatever. In our kids' church the other day, we once again had the children to come and pray in the Spirit. So we prayed for them to pray in the Spirit. There's nothing that kicks you for 4 months to go if you see that happening. It is beautiful knowing that you have given them life. They are flowing with life, all right? That is what you are imparting to them. It's so precious, okay? I get carried away, but I really like the kids and where they're going. In 10 years' time, they have to run your church. Do you know that? Anyway, okay. Now, Jan also this morning was so cool. Because here it says, in Bible school, we teach people that your body, God created your body, soul, spirit. So I quickly just want to explain it to you. Your body is what you can see, like your flesh and your eyes and whatever. And then your spirit part, how cool is this? A third of who you are is a spirit part. It's not freaky. It's just how God made you. That part of you as a human being were designed to connect with God who is spirit. So nothing else We try to fill that thing with many other spiritual stuff, but nothing works because that part is designed to connect with the Lord. Cool, eh? So that is our spirit part. And then we have a soul. Now, the images that the Bible uses for the soul is your heart. All right? So we will say, I give my heart to you. I give my soul to you. That is your heart. Your soul is the part that is in the middle. It's interlinked with your body and with your spirit. Not New Age. That's just like biblical. Okay. So the beautiful thing comes in. I have to, okay, just let me quote scripture. That's scriptural. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So God made us those three parts. So that's very cool. That's cool to explain to your kids as well. Like a spirit part that only can connect with the Lord. That's like a, but our ultimate success, your ultimate success, and we all want to be successful, and your destiny is determined by your soul, your heart, because your heart chooses whether it's going to follow your body or your spirit. And that's where we miss it, because we choose to follow our bodies. We choose to follow the stimuli that the world gives our bodies. That's the way that we choose. So we miss God. We must be led by the Spirit. Your heart must be led by God's Spirit. So if you sit here this morning and you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, this is a great day because we are going to pray for you. Jesus is going to fill you with his Spirit, not our leader. And please, guys, I know I am an encourager, so I can encourage people. But my encouragement dies by tonight if I'm very good. Otherwise, when you walk out the door, it must be God's word that encourages you, that convicts you. It must be Jesus that saves you daily from the choice of choosing your body. We need Jesus to save us daily. I think more and more, we should pray it every day, but more and more, I find myself waking up saying, Jesus, I need your salvation right now. It is there for us every day. We have to choose our salvation. We have to say, Lord, save me today. Save me from myself. Save me from this world. Thank you that one day you are coming to fetch me. I cannot wait. So that's the one part, all right? Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit and you struggle to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or you're not really interested in that, you will really struggle to be the leader that Christ is calling us to be. You will really struggle to get to that place of glory because that place only comes through suffering and dying to yourself. You will be frustrated in the things that you put your effort and your money into. I was just, the Holy Spirit reminded me this morning in worship of the things that I have accomplished without His Holy Spirit. And it's as if it's like a paper bag. It's like a package. I like getting presents. And when you look inside, you think, oh, you get this package and you are so excited, but it's empty inside. There's nothing inside. Such a bummer. You worked so hard, but it's empty inside. That's just how I felt, what the Holy Spirit said to me, the things that I really accomplished without Him. Because in our strength, we can do great things. Yeah, okay. But is that the things that God has for you? Is that what is on His heart for you? The way that we serve one another, the way that I serve my children, my husband, my community, my church, it's tough. It is tough. So yeah, we are all excited. Our leader says we must serve one another. So I decided to sign up for whatever service somewhere. Then I pitch, then the woman is nasty with me or just grumpy. Then it gets tougher. Then you have to say, Holy Spirit, come and help me. Come and empower me to serve this woman and to serve these people with your love. Christelle talked last night about pain. I'm not going to talk about that. But obviously, if anybody told you it's going to be a glorious ride to heaven, please go back to them and just tell them, utter rubbish. It is a road of pain. It is a road of disappointment. I know. It's not easy, but once again, our Savior walked that road. He knows what it feels like. He went all the way, and He's there. His helper is there with us, His Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you today, guys. Seek the Lord. Seek, desire His Holy Spirit. Desire to move in His Holy Spirit. Desire to be the servant leader that Jesus was. If you sit here and you say, Alida, I'm not a leader. Newsflash. If you are Jesus' disciple, you are a leader. Sorry. There are people looking at you. You have people around you at your workplace. You might not be the leader in the workplace, okay? But you are the leader for Christ. You need the Holy Spirit to go serve those people. You cannot do it in your own strength. So how do you know when you go off the rails? You will start to get bitter, burn out, offended with your leadership, whatever. That is the first red light for me. Then I know, shucks, I missed it. Okay. Somewhere I went over from following the Spirit to just doing it in myself. I've been in kids ministry for 13 years. So many Sundays I pitch and I think, oh, I haven't prepared that well, but I can do it in my own strength. I fall flat on my face every time and the kids see it. They will come and tell you, they're so honest. Hoe tannie, jy het nie voorberei nie. Vandag was nie lekker nie. Okay? They will tell it to you. But those days when you know, Lord, today I choose to be led by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, just come and make it fun for them. Minister them, be there for them. Whatever I must do, I'll do. That is the day when the eyes start to twinkle and when they go back with an excitement for the house of the Lord. We want to go back Sunday. All right, when you rely upon the Holy Spirit. When I have quiet time with my kids at home, I can choose to do it in my own strength because we can all read the story. Or I can choose to be led by the Spirit. Lord, how can I serve my kids today? Must my manicure just wait a little while? I just want a bath. Oh, moms, you just want to put them to bed to get in the bath, I know. How can I serve my children today? I'm so tired, Lord. I need your Holy Spirit to help me. So the scripture says to us, I hold before you life and death. Doing things in our own spirit, doing selfish things, only leads to death, guys. If it's not birthed and sustained by God's Spirit, there is no life in it. So I hold before you, like the Bible says today, life and death. And I plead with you for the sake of yourself, for the sake of your salvation, for the sake of this church and this community, for the sake of the children coming behind us, choose life this morning. Choose to be led by the Spirit, although it is a bit foreign for you still. Go seek, read the scriptures about it. Come and do encounter one. Discover the depths and the beauty that lies within the Holy Spirit. Because only then will you be able to walk that road of glory that will lead you through suffering, that will lead you through dying to others around you, dying to yourself. Can we stand, please? While I was preparing my sermon, the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that happened a couple of years ago when I went on a mission trip to India. In India, you get areas that they call the slum areas. Now, it's almost like the townships in South Africa, but our townships, with much respect, guys, is really very nice. It's really nice estates in comparison to the slum areas in India. And there's a group of nurses that we joined on our mission trip. We will go into the slum areas with them. They will open a mat, and then they will have medical supplies and things with them. So people will bring their children and they will clean wounds, etc. And there was this one lady. Obviously in India you have the caste system. So she was at the bottom of the caste and you cannot intermarry or really interchange with the levels. So if you're not very high up, you're down here. It's just hell of a life for you. Sorry, but that's just how it is. So she had leprosy. So the lepers are obviously way at the bottom. So nobody looks after them, nobody touches them, nobody comes near them. And obviously they are sick, they are leprous, and they have to look after themselves. So it was really touching for me, this lady. She had a little hut. height about this high. So it's not like you can stand up there. You go in, there's nothing inside. It's just ground and this, it's a few tucker and leaves over it. And there she was sitting in a corner, all huddled up. And then the nurses will bring her out. She can't really talk well, so you can't really communicate with her. And they will sit her on this mat, and they will give her something to eat. And then those nurses will take the old bandages off her sores. They will clean her wounds. And I can remember that day. I was saying, God, please don't let me faint. Please don't let me faint. I don't want to faint before this woman because I'm not very good with blood, even with plasters, ointment, nothing. And God gave me the grace to stand that day, to see how they open her wounds and how they clean it and how they put new bandages on while she eats something. And then she will go back into her hut. And I just feel that God is saying to you, if you even feel that way, if you even feel remotely close to that, He is your servant leader, and He came to bring you out, to give you food, and to clothe you, and to put ointment on your sores, and to put new bandages on you. I cannot imagine anybody in a worse state. So if you can, think about that picture. Because Jesus did it all and He went all the way. It doesn't matter what you did. So this morning, there are a few groups of people who can just in their own words speak to the Lord. The first group is you are selfish. You want your own way. You are not really interested in God's way. It is actually irritating to you because we want to do things your way. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is calling you to repent of that. You need to be saved of yourself and of your own desires. You can talk to the Lord about that if that is you. Ask Jesus to come and save you from that. You cannot do it in your own strength. Ask Him to come and do it for you today. He is serving you today, the power of His Holy Spirit. Eat it, take it today for you. Then there's a second group of people. You are tired of trying. You have tried many times, but you've tried in your own strength, so you are bitter. You don't want to do it anymore. You must repent and ask the Holy Spirit to be the one to lead you. Say to Him, I'm sorry, I've done it in my own strength. Holy Spirit, help me. Comfort me if it hurts. Cry, get it over with. But Holy Spirit, make me wise and help me to do it your way, the right way. And then I just felt that there are people, they struggle to receive Jesus' grace. It is a free gift for us. In this day and age that we live, I find that many people struggle to receive. They struggle to receive something nice that people give them. Now here is eternal life. Here is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, it's free for you to just receive. And today you need to open your eyes and say, Jesus, I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive the fullness that it brings. Maybe you're not even aware of the fullness what the Holy Spirit brings. I think I've only tasted a little bit and it wants me to jump all over the room. You want that fullness of the Holy Spirit. And for you, I want to say that you must stop being a slave in God's house. You must come and be a daughter and you must come and receive your inheritance and your portion. Come and be the son that God has called you to be. So wherever you are, we're not finished yet, but worship band, you can just play. I don't have the words, but let's just rest up. Well, everybody's just making right with God today. Just tell the Lord, what is in your heart? What do you struggle with? In Jesus' name. I just felt that there are people that are so desperate, so desperate for this. They are desperate for the Holy Spirit. You are like that woman who will reach through the crowd just to touch his hem. Jesus sees you this morning. Take a deep breath, relax, and invite his Holy Spirit back into your life. Jesus, this morning you really called us to radically reconsider whether we want to follow you or not. And Jesus, our legs are really trembling and our hearts are failing us. Because this radical call is too much for us, Lord. We acknowledge it this morning. As a congregation, we say it is too much for us, Lord. We cannot do it. We cannot love one another unto death. We cannot go through suffering for one another. We cannot. But as a congregation, Lord, we want to say, Lord, we lay down our own strength. We say, Lord, we are putting our hands in the air. And we say, Jesus, thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and be our helper. Come and be the one to make it new. Come and be the one to give us that soft heart. A heart to keep on serving, to keep on loving, even though nobody and nothing is deserving of it. Holy Spirit, may you be the sustainer of this in Jesus' name. I just speak over these people, Lord, that the red lights will go on for them clearly to see when they are doing things in their own strength. I speak it over them in Jesus' name. They will see it quickly. They will repent and they will change. Father, our days are few on this earth, Lord. We are tired of wasting our money, our time, and our effort on things that is not on your heart. May your kingdom come, Lord, quickly, Lord. We are so looking forward to come home. I pray for this congregation. I pray for this people for the grace to be able to serve their communities. I pray for fathers and for mothers for the grace, Lord, to serve their children. I pray for this congregation for husbands and wives, Lord, for magnitude of grace to serve one another. I pray for the grace, God, to serve leadership. Even if they don't agree, to serve their leadership in Jesus' name. Father, we speak a change into their communities where they are. Mommy, there where you are picking your children up from school, going straight home, there are people around you. You are not alone. God wants to use you. I just see that God is blowing on coals for you. I see that there's a fire coming. And Father, we are expectant of what your Holy Spirit wants to do. And we say yes for it this morning. I pray that our souls and our hearts will choose to follow the Spirit of the Lord and not the flesh. In Jesus' name. I pray that we will push away the darkness every time we choose your Spirit. Push it away, Lord, for your light and your truth to come, God, in Jesus' name. I want to invite you, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've never asked Jesus to fill you with your Spirit, and this is all weird. To pray in tongues is weird for you, to know about these gifts. Guys, it's in the Bible, but you've never really know what that is all about. I would like to pray with you this morning. So I want to call you to the front. You are welcome to come now, to come to the front and say, I don't know what this is all about, or I'm not filled with the Spirit yet. But I am tired of religion, and I'm tired of dead works, and I'm tired of suffering. At least when we suffer, let's do it for Christ's sake. God, you are the most and greatest gentleman that we can ever know. And we thank you that when you work with us, you work gently with us, Lord. But you are not confused. God, you know who you created. You know the callings that you've put in place, God. You know where you are going. You are excited, Father, about each and every one of us. When I prayed for you, I asked the Lord especially, what is on his heart for you? What is on his heart for you? And the first thing God said to me is, tell my people to serve one another. Now, I've done that. The second thing that God said to me is, I love the people of Somerset West. God loves you. Whether you flow in the gifts or not, whether you are saved or not, whether you are a great mother or a bad mother, whether you have a job or not, whether you have showered this morning or not, God loves you. We don't deserve his love, but he loves you. So Lord, I pray a blessing upon these people, and I say just thank you for what you are doing here this morning. I pray a release of the hunger for your word, Lord. May your word be the thing, Lord, that drives them and that sustains them, God. The truth in Jesus' name. I thank you for this day, God. You've made us a rest day. It's awesome. And I pray rest over this people. I pray a blessing and I pray a momentum when they are busy with the things that is on your heart, Lord. Flatten the mountains for them in Jesus' name.